I am Catwoman. Hear me roar.
Welcome. Welcome. You there, Eric?
I am.
Welcome, Eric and all, to the New 52 Review Podcast, Episode 9. This one is Catwoman Volume 1, The Game, Eric. Don't hate the player, hate the game is what Catwoman
says. I could never
hate
the game, though.
I don't think you hate the game or the player, right? Uh-uh. I have to say player.
We're all a bunch of players, and life is a silly game, Jim.
You know, this game called life, Eric, sometimes you don't have all the pieces, and sometimes it's stacked against you is all I have to say. And all I'll say as well is
– and sometimes that game's Monopoly. You don't want to finish.
And sometimes it just lasts forever, like Risk, where people will think that it's a great game, but it lasts too long.
You know,
Eric,
what? I'll play the shit out of some Risk
right
now.
I'll play some Risk, but just imagine, I'm telling you, if I started playing Risk with my kids right now, it is a game that lasts more than a day. I will go to work with that Risk there. Number one, I think they would cheat. Number two, they'd just knock it over. It'd be done. And Risk is a very good game for me to get mad and accidentally knock over because you cannot really put the pieces back on the board.
No.
Eric, just like in life, sometimes pieces get removed. They can never be replaced. But this is Catwoman
Volume 1,
the game.
Like when you activate your dental plan.
Yes, exactly. And then I pay for it in the end with a lawsuit, maybe getting arrested, and paying for the dental plan, Eric. Yes. But Catwoman Volume 1 of the New 52 was written by Judd Winick, art by Gillian March, Tomei Morey, and Sal Cipriano, Eric. And it came out. Originally, the first issue came out September 21st, 2011, and the six issues that are in this trade, the sixth issue came out February 15th, 2012, and the trade itself was released May 16th, 2012. And I think that you would agree, though I think you're going to not – actually, I say you're going to agree. I think that you're going to be an asshole like you always are to me and not agree. But this is the first book that we're going to be reviewing, the first trade that really kind of shows you how the New 52 rolled, because this is a book that most people would not think that you need a Catwoman book.
No.
Now, you may say JLI or Animal Man. Now, Animal Man, though, you have to realize, is part of the Vertigo thing. So they brought those in. So those were all going to get their chance because of the melding of the universes. Catwoman, though, it does seem like the first one year that you would sit there when all these were announced. And this was before me and you. You had stopped reading comics when the New 52, especially when it was announced and when it came out. But I'm sure there were people sitting back and going, why the hell do we need a Catwoman book? Especially even now. We're sitting here in Rebirth with a select number of books. There's not a ton of books and not a very wide variety of books. Now people will still complain. Too many bat books. You hear it all the time. Too many bat books. This had to have been one, and in fact, I say this, I'm leading into telling you that most people, when this first came out and announced, even before the first issue hit the stands, were saying, why do we need a Catwoman book? This is a bat book so bad.
People yell now about in Rebirth, like, there's too many bat books. When New 52 hit, there were so many goddamn Batman
books. That's what
books.
I'm saying.
It's insane.
Yep. And because they had 52 books when they came out, they were going to center on what they thought was going to sell. And obviously, they thought the Bat Family books were going to be a big hit. So this one, though, was one they were like, why is this in the Bat Family? Why would we want Catwoman? She's a villain. She's an anti-villain. Whatever you want to call her, this is the first book that we're going to have that the character is not necessarily a superhero or even a hero.
Right.
Because as we go through this, you're going to see that Selina does some very questionable things. And also, people around her tend to end up dead, Erica. And, you know, heroes, that's not the best thing to do if you're a hero. But also, I do want to mention, while we record this, is the week that the Batman number 24 came out in the Rebirth, where Bruce Wayne, here's a spoiler alert, if you haven't read it and you don't want to know any spoilers, then, you know, close your ears. But Batman proposes to Selina. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, this is crazy. You know, you had all sorts of reactions. It's crazy. This is ridiculous. Whatever. I'm telling you,
here, boys and girls,
reading this, it's a very good companion piece to number 24. It is. I usually don't even spell out things on Twitter. Like, I don't usually go on Twitter and say, hey, you got to do this. But after reading it again this morning, I was like, boy, this goes so well. And again, this has nothing to do with whether I liked it or not, the Batman 24. But this really goes well. Yeah, you laugh because I last night when we recorded that, I was just screaming. But no, this goes very well into that and shows you a lot of things and what led to that. Now, I'll even say now, when this ends, this trade, Selina still has no idea who Batman is, does not know who Bruce Wayne is. Batman obviously does know who Selina is and has for some time, even though while we go on, she doesn't think that he does, but obviously he does know
it's Selina. World's greatest detective.
Yeah, and we'll go to a point where I kind of laughed at her saying that because it didn't make sense in the progression. But when this first came out, the first issue came out, like I said, September 21st, 2011, and the reviews hit, and they were not good. Eric, the first issue was not well received. You had a lot of people in the reviews when I looked them up on Comic Book Roundup saying, like, this is a book nobody asked for. You know, like the answer to the question nobody asked, stuff like that. A lot of, oh, you know, now that we've gotten all these bat books, why do we need this? You know, Selina Kyle, this and that. Going down to Crave Online, Eric, giving it a 0.01 out of 10. That is their review for the number one issue, and said, Catwoman number one was the most thoroughly mediocre comic I've read in a long time. It is so terrible that I am instituting a new low water mark for the Crave Online rating system. So they actually made up a new part of their system.
That is crazy to me. It is crazy. I have read some really bad books over the time we've done this fucking website, and this was an enjoyable first issue. The thing is, I really expected most people to come out and yell about the over-sexualization like they did with Starfire when Red Hood and the Outlaws came out.
Yeah, they had some of that, but it was more just this, it sucked, they were saying. And it really shocked me. And I did not get the trade for this. I have been buying the trades ahead of time for most of the books. This one, for some reason, either was out of print for a while or whatnot. It's a little too pricey for me, Eric. I'm no Rockefeller. So I didn't get it. So we were reading it in individual issues.
You know, we've been talking about, though, it's not like a trade you really want to go out and buy because it is a Catwoman book in this plethora of other bad titles.
Yeah, so I have a feeling not many people bought it. Yeah, I have a feeling not a lot of people bought it. So when I get these trades, I'll tell you, I usually get them used, and there's not a lot of used copies out there just because I don't think a lot of people bought it. Now, the thing
is – just like my most expensive He-Man figures are the last run that nobody bought at the end of the last run. Yeah,
nobody bought. It happens that happens in video games a lot too. At the end of a system when somebody doesn't buy something, a game or whatever, it happens like that as well. Like a Panzer Dragoon saga for the Saturn system, Eric. There you go. There's a little
Panzer Dragoon.
There's a Panzer Dragoon saga, Eric. It was a role-playing game.
Those aren't words.
My buddy had it. At one point, I think it was up to like $3,000 for that game. Christ. He would not give it up. He may have sold it by now. I don't know. Maybe he's hit hard times. Like Kite Man selling his kites, Eric. But by the end of the six issues, and why I'm mentioning this is because, like I said, we were reading it in individual issues. So when I was looking at these reviews, I didn't even have to think like, oh, when did that happen? When did that go? I know exactly the issues. And I'll tell you right now, I think that Crave Online was out of their minds. It was a standard opening issue for a character. By the end
of
it.
Not only that, it looked amazing.
Yeah, yeah. By the end, it's Gillian March, who's one of our favorites and had a bunch of books at the beginning of the New
52. He was on point here.
He was on point. He was very much on point. We just recently saw him come back to DC with the Trinity Annual he did. But in the meantime, by the end of the six issues that this trade contains, Newsarama ended up saying, gave it an 8 out of 10 and said that of all the other titles DC's publishing, this is becoming a must read. So a lot of people, you know, once they got the idea and all overall for these six issues as the trade, it's a very respectable, it's a 7.1 out of 10 aggregate score for this. And I'm telling you, reading it, this was not anything that I was looking forward to. I mean, you sit here and we have our list of what we were going to read and stuff. The only thing that intrigued me with this is I didn't really read past the first issue when it first came out.
Yeah, I had the first issue, and then I also had the tie-ins to Death of the Family and shit like that. Besides that, I kind of stayed away from the Catwoman title.
Yeah, yeah. And again, when we started our site, the Catwoman was being done by Ann Nocenti. It was a real joke. So I was looking forward to going back and reading this, and I will tell you as we start here, I was very pleasantly surprised, Eric. I really was. I think that this is something that anybody could pick up. Now, again, it's very sexy.
Sure
so
is.
Sexy,
oh
Eric,
God.
That you said you had to fan yourself
Ooh,
at points
no,
and possibly take a shower. And I'll also, I promise people listening to this, I fully promise that just because we're doing these does not mean I'm going to paint a rosy picture, and I know you won't as well. If yeah. something sucks, we're not going to pretend it's great just so people download the episode. We'll tell you it sucks and whatnot. I don't think this sucks in any stretch of the word, but also it's very fast moving. So I'm afraid this is not going to be the longest of our new 52 review podcasts. But it is well worth picking up. If you can find this and it's not as pricey as the prices I saw.
Or just read it in my mind.
Yeah, or just read it and get it because it starts off, and obviously a first issue, once you got to tell the character. And not only that, remember, this is the new 52, so everything is rebooted. So you have to kind of ease people in at least and show what this character is doing, what they're up to. And there's no shocks. There's really no shocks. But if I'll say it again before we fully start, I know I keep beating around the bush, but this is a Selena who is not she's no dummy, Eric. She's very smart, and it's not detective work that she does, but it is heist work, and I think Judd Wynick does a very good job at that. But also, it's not a surprise. Selena is ruled by her emotions a lot of times, and every time it gets her in hot water. But it opens up, and you have very sexiness, Eric. She is getting on her Catwoman suit, and she looks sexy. They're showing bra, boobs, whatever, and she's getting it on when all of a sudden these guys bust through the door.
Not only that, she's trying to collect all her kittens because she knows that somebody's about to bust through the door and she needs to get the fuck out.
Yeah, and this is a thing too. It's you get the idea right away. She's always on the run. Yeah, she's always got something going on because she always seems to mess up. And she ends up, she's gathering the cats, kittens, and getting her suit on. And then these guys come in and they have big skull masks. And this is going to tie in later because it's a very cold open. I mean, for all these books, it really is a cold open where she just jumps out the window and she's just kind of sitting there and like, oh, you know what? Those guys are breaking in. She doesn't really know who they are at this point. She's, oh, they're breaking in.
She just assumes that she did something to get on their radar. And this is somehow, you know, like it's her fault ultimately. She doesn't know what she might have taken from that. She just assumes that she did.
Yes, and in the meantime, she's like, yeah, you know what? They're going to find some underwear. They're never going to find whatever they're looking for. I'm not that stupid. And then her apartment blows up. It just completely blows up. And she's like, yep, I guess I'm going to have to go and find somewhere else to live. And the point of this is, at this point, there are so many times in this book where Selena should just back off and say, like, maybe I should just stop doing what I'm doing for at least 2 months. Like, let things, you know, cool down. She doesn't seem to ever want to do that. She just keeps going.
I'm telling you, the thing is, the big thing that I got out of this first six issues of Catwoman is that she is an adrenaline junkie.
Yes,
she can't help but get herself into trouble because she loves the adrenaline so much.
Yes, and she goes off to her fence and only friend, it seems, who is Lola. And Lola was a showgirl. Eric, a little Copacabana freaking call out. That was pretty funny. But she goes and talks to her. And Lola even says to her, like, listen, you got to calm down. You can't be doing this. You can't keep going. You're getting yourself into trouble. But still, Lola is fully offense. She's an enabler, Eric, because she's like, oh, I know where you can stay. She has a place she could stay pretty much squatting where these millionaires, Italian millionaires in Brazil or Brazilian millionaires in Italy, she has no idea.
But a rooftop penthouse at a really swanky hotel.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, you know, you can do that. But in the meantime, I have a job for you that involves her speaking Russian. And she goes off to this nightclub. The Vinge clan is having a party where they have strippers. It's sexy, huh? They have a lot of sexy strippers, and they're talking shop and things like that. In the meantime, she has drugged the bartender and is eavesdropping on these guys to kind of get a lead, see what's going on. And she does overhear that they have a painting that is supposed to be – it's not worth anything but sentimental value to these – gangsters. It's almost like a good luck piece and whatever. And basically, I like the way she hears them saying about this, and the one guy's like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's not worth anything. And the one gangster says, no, it's worth going to war, so it's worth something to somebody. And Selena right away knows, if I get that painting, It's, you know, it's going to be a bidder's war of who wants to get it in the meantime.
Exactly, because we have this two opposing Russian, yes. like, you know, friggin' gangs and shit like that. And whoever has this painting, it's pretty much, you know, they are the top dogs.
Yeah, they're the top dogs. So she hears this and right away, and later when she does go, it's crisscross applesauce. She's going to play both sides. Again, this is what shows how smart she is. She speaks Russian. She's in there. She's doing it. Then she sees a fella there, a gangster, Renault. And now this is the opposite of her intelligence. It's her emotions that always get in the way
of her
succeeding.
Well, that's
the thing.
Is like, we're talking about the emotions because that is a running theme in this first six issues. But up until this point, I get the idea that like she is very – like she's a tactician. She makes sure that she knows what she's getting into and how to take care of everything after the fact. But it seems like, you know, when we jump into the story here – the events that transpire are like the things that are just her past, her emotions. Yep. They're just being thrown at her, and she doesn't like she's being thrown off her game completely. And this seems like almost like a new thing for her when we jump into the series.
Yeah, and really with this, and it even goes when Batman shows up, and he does show up very quickly and a lot at the beginning. Then you kind of don't see him for a little bit, but even he keeps telling her, "You're smarter than this. Don't do this. Why do you let this?" And she can't help herself. And in the end, she kind of reveals why. Like you said, she's an adrenaline junkie who really is not afraid to die. And unfortunately, that is causing everybody around her trouble as well, because she sees this Renault, and this is a gangster who ended up really fucking up a friend of hers. When she witnessed, he basically seemed to have, you know, freaking beat her up and then killed her. And
well, that's the thing. Like, you know, like she looks really young in this flashback, and I'm starting to think maybe this was like a foster mother of hers for a point.
Maybe. And it's funny because there is a lot of stuff about the, you know, group homes and stuff later. So it may have been. They don't spell it out fully. It's just that it was somebody. But I don't know, because you would think that this Renault was dating, like then it would almost be her stepfather. Kind of, I don't know. But I mean, all you have to know is he was a piece of shit. He was a real piece of shit that abused a woman and while Selena watched and killed her. And he's like, he's supposed to be in jail. Now, I'll say, in the Batman run of Tom King, we do get upset a lot because they repeat dialogue. I don't mind it here because Selena keeps saying, he's supposed to be in jail. He's supposed to be locked up. She keeps saying it to herself almost as if she's trying to work this through her mind and not really, you know, and then comes to the conclusion like, you know what? This guy's never going to get any – there's no justice. I'm going to have to take care of it. And she goes into the bathroom. He goes into the bathroom. She follows him. Gets sexy. Takes off her shirt.
God.
Yeah, she's using – and again, I'll even point out as well, with Catwoman, this is the thing. People may yell about her being over-sexualized. This is different than Starfire to me because it's her decision. She does it to get her way.
She's a sexual creature.
Yes, she is, and she knows it. She even flaunts it to the reader even where she says, you know, I like, you know, dirtbags and I like being groped, just not in this situation stuff earlier because when she
not
does go
together.
To this
I
party.
I like dirtbags by themselves and I like being groped, but just not by dirtbags.
Yeah, not together, and that's what she says when she goes to this party. She could have easily Judd Wynick could have easily made her be one of these hookers at this party. And she says, I don't want to be touched by these fucking dirtbags. And she's the bartender. Well, in the meantime, she goes and this Renault is in the bathroom and she beats the shit out of him. She fucking slices his eye out. I mean, she really goes to town on him. And the problem is
brutal.
And the problem is, though, as this happens, this is against what plan she had, because the bartender that she did drug with chloroform has now woken up. And now the jig is up, Eric.
And gone.
And she basically says, you know, fuck it. I'm Catwoman. They're going to see. She grabs her outfit from above this stall in the bathroom. Very convenient for it to be there.
Thankfully, she fucking put that in there.
Yeah. I was thinking, that's very convenient. And then just goes and gets out, goes to this penthouse. And when she gets there, Batman's there waiting. And this is where I said, where she says that he doesn't know who she is. She's smarter than that. Her apartment blew up and he knew it was hers. He has to know who this is. What does he think that apartment was under Catwoman's name? You know what I mean? It seemed a little off there.
It could have been an alias as well.
I'm telling you. Well, then it makes it worse. Because if he knows the alias and then goes to Catwoman and says, I don't know. It just made me laugh. But it's fine. And they fuck. They end up, Catwoman goes to him and basically says this has happened a bunch of times. He tries to fight it.
Yes, exactly. It's the whole game where he tries to say no and fight off, but eventually they know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, they know what's going to happen, and they do it. And there is a tie, and I said to you, it's a little bit of dialogue that's a little bit lifted from All-Star Batman and Robin, which is terrible when Batman had sex with like Black Canary. And it's like, it tastes like metal is like the cigarettes that he said about Black Canary and stuff. And then also with the, we have half of our costumes remain on. So it was kind of a funny callback.
Well, even that whole thing with the taste like metal, I actually thought that was a really cool call out just for like for fans, because the reason he tastes like metal is that because he has something coating the exposed skin, so that can't be affected by things like a poison ivy or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a really cool call out just to talk, like to show you how prepared Batman is.
Yeah, and how prepared Batman is.
Only bit of exposed skin is still protected.
But also, it really does show you how much Selina takes notice of things, because she's a thief. She notices all the stuff, which ends up, again, it's a very big point throughout this, is when she gets distracted and doesn't realize where her, you know, surroundings and things going on, it always people end up dead. Yeah. But yeah, they have sex. And pretty much that is the end of the first issue. And I know we're doing this as a trade. I just wanted to point out, because these people who are really against this, I don't know why.
That was a fun first issue.
Yes,
moved
and
fast
really
as hell,
liked,
but it was a good time.
Yeah, and you had a sexy deal with Selina, but it also really, to me, showed that she's smart, but she also lives on the edge. I really liked it. And, you know, we pick up from there where, again, they're laying together, Batman and Selina. And it's funny, too, because even this, where Batman's like, hey, are you okay? And she's laying there half nude. They have their cowls on, their mask. And she's like, I'm better
just like
than
I
okay.
Do.
Yeah, I'm better than okay. Couldn't you hear how okay I was? I thought you were supposed to be a master detective. I made it laugh because it's like Batman to me, he looks very happy laying there. I don't think Batman is one for bed chat, you know, pillow talk.
Yeah.
And he really is probably already a bit ashamed of what he did, but he keeps
been
coming
there,
back.
Batman.
Yeah, and it's funny too because, again, she just did this. She just gets up and fucking jumps out the window. She has stuff she wants to do. She's not going to sit there and talk with Batman, but she does say, you know, she does like him. You get the whole deal. And even though she says, you know, why do you care so much about helping me? And again, this is the scenes where it really ties in well with the Batman 24 that just came out in the rebirth, because she says, why do you keep helping me? And he just, you know, Batman, I don't want to see you get hurt or have anyone else get caught in your crossfire. And she goes, somewhere in there, I think you almost said, because I like you. And then she just gets dressed and jumps out the window. And she says, he could chase me. He could catch me. He could chase me. But he doesn't. He doesn't do this, and she spells it out. I think he hates himself for it. That's not a new one to me. I seem to bring that out in people. And then she's like, well, you know, I'm not going to complain. I had sex with Batman. I'm one of the few people who get to do that,
again.
So I'm not going to complain. Yeah, yeah, again.
And
I really like
too.
That. Yeah, sexy, Eric, so sexy. But then it goes off, and she ends up, she did
it's
steal
heist
that
time,
painting.
Baby.
Yeah, it's heist time, and it's funny. She gets done her sex, off to the real job, and she steals that painting. It's a painting of a horse these Russian mob clans really like, and they have it. And then this is where she kind of sets things up, but she goes to Lola first and kind of explains what she's doing. And, you know, and Lola, this is again where she's like, okay, you're doing this. You're kind of going a little too far, you know, why did you get emotional about this, Renault? You gotta watch out for yourself, because these are the things you should leave on the sign. And she's like, no. And even Lola's like, you're not walking away from this, are you? And she's like,
no.
And then you're like, well, if this is revenge, do I need to tell you, Selina, if you're working a gig, getting all emotional is unbelievably stupid. And she's like, I know, but I'm killing two birds with one stone.
Because that's the thing. While she attacked, was it Renault?
Renault.
You know, she only attacked him. Now it's time to finish the job.
Yeah. And in fact, she wants to continue doing her bad stuff to Renault as well, because she says, we're going to have this pickup.
He's supposed
we're
to be locked
these
up,
things.
Jim.
He's supposed to be locked up, but she says she needs Renault to be one of the guys, these drop-offs, and they're going to do it in public at the Wayne Foundation Children's Trust. Basically, she calls both clans. She calls the Evinge clan, and I'm trying to find the Agorovs clan. They are the two Russian mobsters, and I'm telling you, if you want to know kind of how this works out and how it plays out, reminded me so much of those two gangs in Episode 7 with Han Solo when he's in his ship.
Right.
And that the two gangs on either side of him, it kind of reminded me.
Payment.
Yeah, they both need it because both of these clans are showing up because she's working both sides. She said, okay, the Avinga, you do this, you drop off the money here, and you guys do this, and you drop the money at a different place. She is just going to walk away, let those guys duke it out for this painting while she collects both money. It's a smart plan. It's sure great. Is. In the meantime, she goes there. She is not going undercover, Eric. She kind might of. Be later going undercovers. I'm saying she is not laying low. Yeah. I mean, she shows up and is flaunting everything. And she gets the eye of Bruce, who all right away, he knows it's her. Knows. This is where I said, and she knows. And this is where I think that the biggest part that you can say ties into everything that Bruce cares about Selena and all this stuff is Bruce is talking with Alfred. Alfred's there with him at this gala. And he says, you know what? Are you certain it's her? He's like, yes. And then she's like, why would Catwoman be here? No idea. And then that's when Alfred, and it's probably the funniest part of the whole thing where Alfred is talking. He's like, okay, you know what? You don't want to go over there. You keep your distance from him. You don't want to mess up and let her know you're – he walks away. He's just already gone. Up. He's going right
to her. Or you can just march right up there. Very yeah. good, sir.
And this is the best part. He says 1.5 million women in Gotham, and this is the one who catches his eye. Delightful. And I think that this also shows Alfred knows that he likes her, if not loves her. I think at this point it's not love. It's more of lust and like, whatever, that develops
he's
over
infatuated.
The, you know, the time. But yes, but he really, really likes her. He goes up as Bruce. It is, you know, the typical deal. He reeks of
the playboy
alcohol.
Drunk freaking guy. I'm telling you, and I really like this scene too because it's one of the only times that I can really remember from the New 52 and even in Rebirth where he has this persona that he yeah. is billionaire playboy Bruce Wayne and he's going to get what he wants. He's going to go yeah. after all these different girls. We don't see this anymore. And I'm like, you no. know, I kind of miss it because it's yeah, a really cool yeah. like cover he could use.
Yep. He acts like a piece of shit. Is what he does. I'll tell you where I thought that we got a little hint of it in Rebirth was when Bruce showed up at that Bachelorette auction when yeah. in the Wonder Woman, the Last God Watch deal. I think that was like issue 22 or 23 right. where he's there with the ladies at the table like he's having this grand old time. But yeah, he's going around. He goes up to her and basically is playing the role. And I guess at this point he's trying to figure out what she's there for, obviously. But also in my mind, he knows that she's up to no good and he's trying to get her the hell out of there without even knowing what's going on.
And while this is going on, freaking Alfred is hacking her phone so they can get the information yep. about who she's texting, what,
yeah.
what is she
yeah,
texting.
And what's going on because she's texting the drop-offs for both clans. So she's there and I'm telling you, the dialogue, like you said, is really funny. He's like, let's get out of here. I own a club. We can go to, oh, you own a club? I don't know.
Maybe.
I just
they
show
always
up
let me
and they
like
let me
30
in.
Guests.
And yeah, this is where she goes to get this, gets her payment. In the meantime, you have the guys showing up. Both clans show up where the painting is. It's at the end of the hall hanging up and they are on. It's Mexican standoff, Eric.
Sure is.
And this is where Selena goes a little too far again. Bruce goes to find out what she's doing. She is dressed as Catwoman at this point and sees these gangs. Both gangs are there. He recognizes who they are, too. It's Batman, so he knows. But still, he's dressed as Bruce. And they are on a standoff, and she throws a firecracker in there to make them all
and
kill each other.
And that's the one other. Thing. It's like where she this is this anti-hero, and she doesn't really cross the line too many times. But in this initial freaking arc,
yes.
she crosses the line just a little bit too much here, you know, yeah. for where she winds up, like eventually in the New 52, she would become part of the JLA and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know if I like it or not because,
no.
you know, she is this villainous character where, you know, she does walk the line and crosses it every now and again. But the idea where yep. she is willing to get motherfuckers killed is just kind yeah. of off to me
and
at some point.
And with Bruce right there, I yeah. thought that was a little off. This is the only thing that bothered me. And because the whole thing was this Renault is a piece of shit. She went
oh,
after
yeah.
him. There's more than Renault dying here. There's a lot of guys dying here. And again, these have to be on her hands. You know, this has to be her fault. And she runs off. She has the money. It's funny. She has a duffel bag and the suitcase that she yeah. told them each to go. She runs off. She's happy as can be. Bruce, she even says, and it's funny because Bruce starts running after her after she runs away. And she even says, oh, like he thinks that he's going to chase me. And I think that Bruce did the right thing. He stopped because that would have shown her that
well,
it
even
is Batman
that,
at
like,
this point.
She had an instant attraction to Bruce yeah. Wayne, even with this fucking asshole persona, you know, kind of thing. And Like, it's almost like she was on the verge of understanding yes. who he was. And if he would have continued right there, she yes. would have been totally on the
yeah,
trail.
And I think Bruce knew this as well. And also, even as Batman, he doesn't chase her. If he could have caught her right away, maybe. But really, what would he have said to her? Because yeah. everything he would say to her would be what Batman would say, and I think it would throw her off. But I'm telling you, this is the point where she has gotten revenge on Renault. She's double-crossed two Russian mobs. She is on the top of the world there. Top
of
the world,
mob. Shitload of money.
Oh, tons of money. And she goes back to Lola to celebrate, and Lola is dead.
Beaten, tied up, and with a bullet in her fucking
bullet
head.
Bullet through her fucking forehead. And this will go later on in the New 52. It kind of happens again with Louis the Stache.
Yeah,
and it's very similar to what happens here, because as this is going on, these guys, the guys with the masks again, the skull masks, come in and
the
just
bone
start
gang
beating,
is what I call them.
They start beating the shit out of her. And then all of a sudden, the big bad, the guy who is running these guys, the boss, whose name is Bone, Louis Ferriman, he comes in and says, basically, you are irritating. You have been stealing all of my stuff. So basically, they were on her case from the beginning, because we saw these guys at the very, you know, the cold open of it, them busting through. So they were on her tail. And unfortunately, when she left there, they must have tracked her right back to Lola, and it got Lola killed. They just killed her after beating the shit out of her. And now Selina is just a bloodied mess. And
it's odd, too, this whole Louis Ferriman Bone, you know, like, he is supposedly, like, you know, he's like a new up-and-rising gangster yes. kind of thing, you know, in Gotham. But he's very generic for what we already know of yes. that Gotham has, because we already have, like, a Black Mask show like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
He's a very Black Mask light yes, because he's just a
much.
Guy who has like rocky kind of skin, yep. and you know his face resembles a bit of a skull. You know, it's not exactly yep. there, but it's just very rocky and it's very kind of generic. So like even yep. this like you know this first presentation that we have of a villain in the series, I'm like, yep.
And it is a new villain. This is a Judd Winick villain.
Yeah.
If for some reason you're a little more impressed with him than Eric, because really he doesn't do much going from here. Yeah.
No.
Selina pretty much takes care of him. He does show up again in Batman Eternal. He's one of the guys because they were
does
just
he?
Throwing.
Okay,
yeah,
see, I'm
yeah,
telling
yeah.
you, I must have missed a lot of Batman
yeah.
Eternal. You throw these things at me, I'm like, yeah,
yeah
I don't remember
he,
that at
he
all.
He shows up there, but again, he's kind of like you said, he's an up and coming guy. And he does look so much like a reminiscent of Black Mask when it happens. So it is kind of funny that he shows up. But yeah, at this point though, he's pretty much
especially
you know,
for all
the
fucking turmoil that Black Mask and Catwoman go through later in the series.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And again, you can say he's not the greatest of villains.
No.
But I kind of give Judd a kind of a little, not respect, but I give him props for not going the standard route. Like, you could have had Black Mask show up and you could have done this. He is trying to get her own mythology going with this and having her own villains, though Bone does not last very long.
Well, that's the thing. It's very hard in this series, like, especially when you have all the Bat books. Like, we complain all the time about Batgirl. Like, they always try to give her own villains
yeah.
and shit like that, how it never really plays because they're always, you know, kind of weak sauce goddamn villains.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're in Gotham, when you have characters that are in Gotham,
you
have
just
a
say
plethora
use what you have.
Of great characters to use, and when you throw a goddamn like a second rate, you know, wannabe in there, it
yeah.
just kind of feels
so
off.
So you're saying you have the toys, Eric. Open the toy box. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
You're a man who plays with toys, so I know what you're saying. You have your He-Mans. Don't play or your Transformers. Don't play with your GoBots. Is that a better one? Is that a good
not.
One? See there? I know the lingo. I have no idea what I'm talking about, Eric, but I know the lingo. In the meantime, they open up. This goes from there where Selina now is tied up. And Bone basically says, and I love Selina later when she pretty much freaks out because Bone just is pissed. He's like, I had things. You stole all of my crap.
And that's the fun thing. I didn't mind this whole backstory because it is different than you usually get because instead of drug money, guns, or anything like this, or just money in general, the whole idea is that he grew up a poor kid in a group home a lot like Selina did, and he had nothing. So when he started getting some money and shit like that, he bought things, objects, and these things, like, they
these
made him happy.
Show,
because
these
in his
things
mind,
show,
this finally made him somebody.
Yeah,
you know?
So
and
it really
Selina
does
took
mean
it away
something.
From him.
Yeah, and like you said, these are important things to him. Now, again, we're talking in
go
the whole thing.
Go take my He-Man's
of,
Catwoman, you
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, your He-Man's. With this whole deal, we even had the first caper was stealing something that just had sentimental value and meant something to people other than his. So that is a lot of stuff to where I do think that it's something on the in the background that you're supposed to believe. Like, you know, Selena, we always think of her just stealing stuff and like, ooh, look, she stole that lady's
like
diamonds.
Some jewels well, and money.
These things do mean something to people. So yeah, she is hurting people when she does it. And unfortunately, it may come back to haunt her.
She done
which
hurt
it does
the wrong
here.
Person this time.
Yeah, and even before that, right before that, you do get a little background of when Selena started and how Lola kind of became her fence and stuff like
yeah.
that. And I'll tell you, I love Gillian March's art throughout. This young Selena in these couple
so
panels is so good. I'm telling you, I wish that that was the look that she had throughout. I think that she just looks fantastic. But yeah, they're talking about, and even that's a point where Lola, and it's a pretty, you know, it's bad with what you know is going on, which she's like, listen, you gotta take care of yourself. You have to be careful. You can't just go in roughshod all the time and think things are going to take care of themselves. And Selena says to her, like, what's fun in being careful? And, you know, it's an awful lot more fun than being dead, is what Lola says. Unfortunately, it looks like Selena's about to be dead, and Lola's laying there on the floor dead. But they have the they have her on this, you know, chair.
Yeah,
and
she's tied to a chair.
And that's where you said Bone is saying, like, listen, I grew up in a group home. I had these things. I did all this stuff. But these are the things
saying,
now that
Bone,
I rose up.
Tell me
up.
About why you look the way you do.
Yeah, really. You don't need to know why he buys trinkets. But that's what he's saying. And again, if you're going to go along with a natural progression of a story and natural dialogue, I don't know that Bone would just
oh, no,
go
no,
to
no,
like.
I doubt you.
Yeah.
It works. I'm
oh,
sorry.
I want to know, too.
About all the time. Like in that Wonder Woman, you know, Steve Trevor, where freaking, you know, Saturn is goes and tells
yeah, yeah.
Steve Trevor exactly
yeah,
what her
just
powers
shows
are.
Up her
like
power
out of
sets
nowhere.
Whatever.
It feels
he,
so off.
Yeah.
Here he doesn't talk about himself and like, you know, the way he looks at all. He's just talking about why he's after her and that's it. I'm like,
yeah.
The dialogue's fine.
But
I
want
to know more.
I do want to know. Like, I'm telling you, it, at the least hokiest way, he could have been like, I see the way you look at me.
Yeah.
It's not my fault
that
I'm
everyone
a
in the group
human
home
bone.
At me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but he says he gets stuff and you stole it. This is the stuff that shows me and what I
he
enjoy and
my
I was able
nice
to do
crap.
It. Yeah, it's nice crap. But she's on in this chair, and this is basically like any spy movie where they have the spy on the, you know, taped and freaking roped to the chair. You know, it's what's going to happen. They're going to flip it over. She's going to backhand somebody. She's going to kick them, and that's what happens to Bone Thugs. He ends
yeah,
up.
She,
ooh, Bone
she
Thugs
instigates him
Harmony.
Enough to hit him and knock them over, allowing her legs to get a little bit loose, so she breaks free. Flips and
yeah.
fucking, you know, kicks some ass.
Because Bone has left. And
yeah.
she goes and she grabs the one guy and says, listen, where's your boss? And he, there's three of them. She has one. And he's like, oh, it's so funny
you.
Because he's like, I'm not going to tell you. You wouldn't do anything. I'm like, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. You know what
Jesus
I mean? You
Christ,
don't know
you're
her.
A dumb bastard.
Yeah, you don't know her. And she ends up shooting the other guys in the leg and says, hey, you want to walk with a cane the rest of your life? Like these guys? We'll make it a trio. Tell me where he is. He's at a strip club. He's at a club.
Or you know what? I'm going to fucking blow your cock off if you don't
yeah,
tell me.
Yeah, and then he even says that. And she's they tell her, hey, Bone is at this club he goes to. Did you think that when you read this, when they mentioned that it's on the 40-story building, did you know that was going to drive me nuts? When you
yes, yes, I know exactly.
He's at the like what appears to be like he's a high roller, Eric. He's above everything in Gotham
dude,
in this
dude,
club.
Dude, you have fucking put this in my goddamn head
so
much.
So
on that 84th floor
yep.
when Reach later on in the series throws fucking Catwoman with
oh,
her
yeah.
powers up in the air, and she says later on it was a half a mile. I'm thinking I almost did the math. To find
yeah,
out how many floors that would
to
be
because
she is
she's,
like
yeah.
so far over any kind of fucking cityscape. It's ridiculous. So
bitches.
I almost did them. I'm like, no, stop being crazy. You're not goddamn Jim
don't,
Warner.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do the math because I didn't do the math. I just laugh when it happened. But yeah, she goes and now.
Now, I'll
again,
tell you what did drive me nuts is when we get to freaking this club, this whole strip club
yes.
where Bone is at and this fucking stripper is, you know, giving him
that
a lap
dance.
You think
that the stripper is enjoying herself?
That mirror floor. It does not make any goddamn sense for what we're seeing reflected in that mirror
yeah,
for what we're seeing.
It doesn't. I didn't even see that.
It
so
drove
funny.
Me nuts. I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah. It is crazy. I actually thought you were going to say, I don't care what Bone's paying. No stripper is going to be dancing with that guy. But no, she shows up. And again, this is another one of those things where now it's personal. Now she's emotional, obviously. Her
yeah, Lola's
best
dead.
Friend. Yeah, Lola's dead. So she's
she
going
was a showgirl.
After. And yes, she was. And she goes and just beats the living crap at him. And Bone really turns to a bitch really quick and basically says, listen, I know I let my emotions get, you know, the best of me. Hey, let's make a deal. Let's do this. Let's not get out of hand. She does a Harley and pulls out the bat and is about to end. And then, not even about to, she goes to town. And then she says, you killed a person, my friend, because of your meaningless, stupid things. And she says, you know what? It's not, this wasn't drug money. It wasn't all this stuff that, you know, don't give me your group home bullshit and all this sob story. You killed somebody who I cared about because of stupid fucking things. And she is going to kill him. As this is going on, she's, pushing him, push him towards the side of the ledge of this building, which, Eric, it's one of the tallest buildings in Gotham. And she's about to do that. That's when Batman shows up.
Well, if you look at the background, there's a lot taller buildings
there
around.
Is buildings that seem to be up, but you don't really get the whole. But I don't think any of those are dilapidated fucking apartments. I'm just saying, Eric. I'm not really going to get into this. But yeah, he's at the ledge. She's about to kick him over. And Batman shows up and is like, you know what? You don't want to do this. This isn't you. And she's like, how the hell do you know? You don't know who I am.
And go also this yourself. Line, how the hell do you always find me? And I'm like, I'm telling you, as I was reading this whole thing, it really brought me back to that freaking Batman 24 where he proposes, because he is always just there. And even like, you know, she's surprised every time you see him, but he seems like, you know, even though he doesn't chase her, he always follows.
Yeah. Yeah. And she says, you don't know me. You don't know who I am any more than I know who you are. And again, I think that this is kind of starting to bother her as well, because they've been having – I think she does like him, and it's starting to disturb her he won't tell her. Almost like the Barry and Wally in the regular Flash, the young Wally kid
just
Flash.
Just as sexy, right?
Almost as sexy. but he just says, I know it won't solve anything. Just don't do it. And she's very upset, and I think this is very well played out by Gillian March, that she's trying to be tough, but she really is. She hasn't really cried or anything. She hasn't had time to even react to Lola's death at this point, because she ended up, once she saw her, she ended up getting attacked. And I do think the one panel where it's just her is like one of those where she says, also he says, listen, you're not going to feel better, and I won't be able to forgive you. And I think it all comes down on
like Batman. Did you just not see what happened to that Wayne Children's Foundation?
Yeah, no, he's right there.
All these fuckers are dead.
Yeah, that was Bruce Wayne, Eric. He's insane. He didn't see that. And plus, he likes her. You know, he likes to romp with
likes
her.
Likes
but
her.
But yes. And she drops the bat and goes over, and they start kissing again. It's the
funniest
thing. I
really like the progression
thing.
Of panels there, too.
Oh, yeah, because she's kissing. It is so funny, because as they're kissing, she gets her bullwhip out and whips Bone off the side of the building. And she even says, it's like one of those where I think – she says, I know he's going to save him. How? There is no way, Eric. He is falling. You're not going to be able to catch up with him, but Batman is better than me and you and does grab him, though I think it would break every bone in his back, because he just gets him with like a batarang freaking
grappling
deal. I
don't know. That
could
have fucking stone skin for all I know.
Yeah, well, that's true. I'll give you that. But in the meantime, it's like that last bit where she just can't be a good person like that. I think she is a good person overall. She's a loyal person. You know, she has her weird ways. But it's so funny to me that
she
just
can't. Dead and she could not let that stand. And
yeah,
she
and
needed
she
to
just
get away
can't
from
walk away.
Batman would have brought something out of her that she was afraid of.
And that, and I think that it's one of those now she can walk away from this and say, you know what? I tried to kill him. Batman stopped. So, you know, it's done. Case closed. And like I said, Bone ends up going to jail or whatever, but comes back. We don't really see it, but he does come back in Batman Eternal. Meantime, she goes back to Lola's apartment. And this is where I had an issue where I don't think that Judd Wynick really thought this out. Because she goes back there. There was gunfire in there when she left. She shot guys in the leg. It doesn't matter if they're going to call the cops or anything. There's been a bunch of shots fired there, a lot of scuffling.
You don't understand this kind of neighborhood. Snitches get stitches.
I guess they don't, but
you
would think something, because she goes back, and it's not going back. I mean, at the point, she goes back, grabs the body, runs out, whatever she might do, but she just starts to get rid of the evidence of her being anything connected with Lola, and she says, I'd like to think.
Self-preservation mode.
And she says, I'd like to think that what I'm doing is protecting Lola, that when they come and find out, they don't know that she was a piece of
offense. Yeah.
But she says, I'm smarter than that. I know that I'm trying to get rid of the evidence that connects
exactly. I can't
to
lie
her.
To myself about this. I know who I am as well, but I want to protect Lola, but I want to protect myself even more.
And you've killed like three people as of this point, right? You told me that in confidence. Isn't that what you told me?
It wasn't premeditated.
Okay, but when you did kill them and you went back, you didn't try to get the evidence, get rid of it in the fireplace of that person in their apartment,
right? I certainly
didn't
cry on the body.
No, there's a lot of shit that she's doing wrong here, but it's supposed to show that now this is when she can finally, you know, show her emotions about how upset she is. But she's burning pictures in the fucking fireplace in the place. But in the meantime, she's distracted and says, "Oh, I hear some people calling and also are coming." And I also think that this is a little off because there's a bunch of people. There's at least three, and she thinks it's Batman. I think you would have heard more footsteps, but that's fine because what happens is she's doing all this, thinks that Batman has caught up with her, and he's like, "You know what, this makes sense. He would know, he'd follow me, whatever." It's the police. The police show up.
You done fucked up, kid?
Yeah, you're done. And that part ends. That's a cliffhanger of one of the issues where the police show up and she's like, "Ooh, I'm in big trouble." Then you go from there and you have this really weird progression here for one panel where you see her laying on top of a crushed car, and it really threw me off a bit. It does show up later what's going to go on. I thought that she had jumped out the window.
I forgot. I thought I ended with, like, you know, I was reading this sporadically, this whole first six issues, mm-hmm. and I thought I ended on issue 4, so I jumped into issue 5 without reading 4. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Then I went back. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because the cops are there. They're going to take her down. They're going to take her downtown, but she ends up throwing a bottle of, I believe, whiskey and setting
rum.
It on fire. Rum. It's rum. She sets up. She sets it on fire, and she even says, "You know, Lola got this. It sucks that I ended up having to burn down this building of hers, but you know what? She wanted to get out. She's not going to go to jail, Eric." Plus, she grabs Lola's body and takes it, and then we go and they show her her funeral. And the problem is even though Selina wanted to kind of, you know, make Lola look good in her death, she couldn't. She actually had to go beyond that and kind of spread
and
rumors.
Incriminate
and
her to try to get the heat off of her.
Yeah, and make it seem like this was a gang thing or, you know, a mob thing that they came and took her out. But in the meantime, she's at this the funeral, and she runs into her old friend Gwen, who was a girl that ran with her with Lola, knows Lola, came to the funeral, obviously. But she then, you know, it's more foreshadowing of how this book is.
Yeah, it
continue.
Seems like Gwen is still in the life, and she's become a fence herself, and Lola's helped her out to become this.
Yeah, and at this point, Selina is kind of thought to herself, "I'm not going to get people I like involved in this life anymore. I can't do this." We find out later that she can do that, in fact, does. But at this point, she says, "You know what?" She says to Gwen, like, "I'm kind of still involved, but not really." And you have this, the captions with her narrative, like her thinking things. It's basically like, as she's like, "I'm not really in it. I am. I'm Catwoman." You know, stuff like that.
Exactly. And even when Gwen says, "You know, if you ever need a hand," she's like, I might be able to use you. Thank you." She's like, "I'm never going to call
you.
I'm not bringing you into my craziness."
Yep. And she says, "Lola's dead. That's on me. And from now on, I work alone." Now, in the meantime, you go to the GCPD. And luckily, she doesn't realize that she has a guardian angel, Eric. And the problem is, it starts, and it's Alvarez. It's Detective Alvarez. And he is not a guardian angel at first. He is the only one who seems to be able to connect the dots and knows all these robberies and things. Our Catwoman, he's kind of seems obsessed with this.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
the police are like, these are like seven, like, what is it, like 17,
17
open cases
or some
shit like that. Yep. And like, they're just open cases. And he is put together where everybody believes that these are different robberies caused by different groups and shit like that. He thinks it was all one person and it was Catwoman.
And
like,
it's funny. When it first starts, they're like, "Oh, you think that these things are all connected?" And he's like, no. I think they're all done by the same person. It's more than just connected. In the meantime, you find out that he did get demoted because he walked in on the deputy mayor freaking having sex with a guy and a girl hooker and things like that.
And the thing is, I'm like, you know, I really, really liked the first three issues of this, you know, first volume, this first arc. And I have to say, when issue 4 starts,
it starts going downhill
for me.
Yeah, this is a little off. I'm telling you.
Like, even the whole thing where he was, you know, "You're excellent homicide police." And we see where he got demoted from this whole thing is where he busted in the door and it turned out to be the deputy mayor in bed with these two hookers.
And with a bunch of drugs and things. Why didn't he get a promotion? Why would they demote him?
The thing is, though, it's a homicide police. What is he even doing there?
I know. Well, it's even just not that. I'm saying, like, this is – you walk in on our boss – and he's doing exactly what you see there. And he's dressed up in women's – you know, he's doing crazy stuff there. And you have that. If you walk into the boss and he's doing that, the boss is not going to demote you because then you're going to tell. You know what I'm saying?
Because the whole thing, it could be somebody's word against yours, because as we saw with Wrong Turn, when he got hit by that lady at work,
that
other
is
people
true.
Are willing to say that he hit
her.
Yeah,
but even
like
so,
that.
when it's something that you don't want out, even if it comes out like, well, you were there, and then the guy at least has to explain some things, maybe. These are the things that usually will get you killed.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Like I
especially
said, it's one of those
police force full
to
of dirty
me,
cops.
Yeah. To me, it's one of those wink, wink. Hey, you know what? You're a good guy. I'm gonna give you a little benefits here because you're not telling. Like one of those, like really, like you know, people who tell seems to get end up dead. But you're a good guy. I'm gonna promote you, and then you owe him. But they demoted him, and like you said, it is a little weird that he jumps in, and it's pretty much a hooker thing.
Yeah.
And you know, and he's
like they're talking about his great legwork and all the shit,
yeah.
But he went into the wrong place. I'm like, but this doesn't seem like a homicide investigation at all.
Yep. Yeah. And he's talking there and he's trying to get this case, you know, let me work on these. Let me find this. In the meantime, these guys, half the GCPD are a bunch of pieces of shit. They're
oh, yeah.
Crooked cops, including his superior that he's talking to. But it's funny, too, because you have Catwoman and he thinks he wants to find out who Catwoman is. At this point, Catwoman is not really connected to all the stuff going wrong. Well, it does end up. That's where I thought it was a little off. I wish that the scenes were a little reversed, and it was, because at this point, I think that this is a great way to get Alvarez out of fucking, you know, oh, you know what? This guy snoops. This guy freaking turns in people. Let's let him go on this cat chase, Eric.
Exactly.
And go out and do that. But they're like, no, we can't do this. In the meantime, Selena's trying to pay the bills. She's got the skills that pay the bills, Eric, and she's got this.
She needs to get back on
the
horse.
She's got an informant who basically knows where these piece of crap drug dealers have their drop off of the money, and they're getting lazy. Her guy who she goes to talk to, her info guy, who wants to have sex with her.
Exactly. I'm trying to say, Billy Willis goes by Bill. He
Bill
runs the snack on the North Side tenements.
Yeah. So he's a piece of crap too, but she goes for info. And he's like, they're getting lazy. The cash pickups for these drug dealers, they keep doing it. They're not changing locations, and it's getting lazy. So she's like, this is easy. And even thinks to herself, like, this is where we're going from her saying she's going to work alone. So she goes off, and it's basically, you know what? Just grabbing shit from drug dealers. You know, they're bad.
And exactly.
I'm doing
it back to the anti-hero thing where, yes, she is stealing money, but she's stealing money from drug dealers. So,
yes.
You know, it's one of those freaking, you know, walk in the line kind of
yep.
shit.
Yeah. So when this happens, though, unfortunately, something else is going on in the background, because she immediately gets attacked by a metahuman with electrical powers called Reach.
No, she's got gravity powers.
Well, gravity powers. It's weird, too, though. But yeah, I guess it is all gravity. It's funny because at points, I guess the gravity where it kind of – she constricts it on it, because I'm telling you, at points it looks like she's getting hurt by electricity, but you're right, it's gravity, and she starts throwing Selena around.
By a human named Reach.
Reach, and there's a big fight, and that's where she just basically is like, hey, you know what, I'm going to show you why they call me this, and then grabs her with this gravity power and just throws her up
just
in the air.
Just chucks her into the goddamn sky.
Yeah,
I'm like, holy shit, you
know
what?
And,
while, you know, I thought that Bone was a second-rate villain, I want to see more Reach.
Yeah. And Reach is, like you said, and I'll tell you, this little part, this issue, which would have been issue 4, it is a little off, mainly because it's not a lot of Selena. It's a lot of Alvarez, that setup, Reach, and stuff like that. But like you said, the Alvarez stuff comes to play, and I like Alvarez here, and I like having her have somebody in the GCPD who's not a piece of shit.
Get the whole thing with Batman and Gordon. This is her kind
yeah,
of her Gordon
that's
going
what
forward,
I like.
It seems like.
And, but it was off a bit, that bit, when we go and you pick up and she is in the air. She's freaking
This whole second half of the arc, in my mind, just takes a different turn
it
from
does.
Where we just started with, and
yeah.
I don't like it as much.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I don't mind. It was that one issue that kind of threw it off for me. This one is a little bit better because I want to know more about Reach, like you said. Not that we really do find out anything, but she ends up going down and using her bullwhip, and she connects to a what's it called?
A girder
on a construction site, and it basically rips her shoulder out.
Oh god!
And then she has to do a Riggs Eric, she does the rigs and fucking jams it in.
And I love the progression, though. It's a little far-fetched, though, as she's falling down and she's looking for something to fucking, like, you know, swing onto with her bullwhip. And she's like, stay limp, like, hold tight, stay limp, hold tight. And it pulls her goddamn shoulder. I really like that progression, even if it is far-fetched. Like, you are fucking dead. You're letting go of your goddamn grip and you are falling to your death.
And even then, at least they do show that there is some effect of falling, though it still should have been more. It should have ripped her fucking arm right off. But
when we had the Batman in Court of Owls where he falls off the goddamn building, he's looking for something to grab a hold of, but he knows it'll rip his goddamn arm off if he does.
And they end up, like I said, she does a rigs, jams her freaking shoulder back into place, and then beats the shit out of Reach, and she gets knocked out. Now we go, and you find out that all of this shit that's been going on with her, this drug money, it's not drug money. The police are corrupt. They've been doing shit.
This is $450,000 of money that was supposed to be in the evidence locker that the police are laundering.
They want to launder it.
Make it clean. Because right now, all of these bills that they had out and about are marked bills. It's from an armed car robbery.
Yeah, the Mission Bay heist it's from.
Exactly.
And you have these three dirty cops that are there, and Alvarez is listening in, and he realizes, you know what, these guys are pieces of shit. I'm going to have to look into this. In the meantime, that's when Selena realizes, ooh, and it's funny, too. She sees the money. She's too smart to realize. She's like, oh, and she even says, I have a couple bit before they come look for it. That's the best thing about these drug dealers, all this stuff. They're not going to know who I am. And she
you
goes,
dumb
and it's,
bitch.
Yeah, this is where she lets herself down again by using her emotion, because she's like, oh, you know what? I just did this. I have $500,000. Let's go have some fun. And it bites her in the ass.
And the thing is, it's all based off of bad intelligence, because, you know, before she, like, when Lola was helping her out, like, she would set up some stuff. She would, like, give her the intel and shit. So afterwards, Lola would fence it. Now she's just relying on dirtbags that want to sleep with her to give her bad intel.
Yeah.
And because of that, she thinks this is just drug dealer money. So she takes the money she has and, like, I'm going to pamper my treat yourself.
Yeah, she's going to treat herself. And the whole deal, like you said, if this would have been – even if this was Lola and shit went bad, she would have went back to Lola and Lola would have been able to launder that money. She would have – you know, there's no way Lola would have said, oh, let's go have some fun and spend this money. This is something that I think Judd Weinick is showing you as well, that she's in over her head. When it comes to after the crime, she doesn't know how to act because she's always had somebody help her. In the meantime, she's throwing this money around and also almost having sex with a masseuse. She's really enjoying it. But she's handing out money, and the hotel that she's at, or the spa, whatever, they end up looking into things and checking this money and find out that the serial numbers are the ones from this heist. The police are contacted. The people scatter. It's so obvious that shit's gone wrong when this lady comes in. Like,
the one the hotel attendant comes in and like, oh, we have an emergency meeting. All staff members must be present. So everybody quickly, please leave the room.
Let's
we have
go.
To go.
I'm
like, oh, yeah.
And,
you're real subtle about this here, girl.
And so you have Selena there and she's like, oh, shit, I better get dressed. And as the police come in, she's in the alleyway thinking she's gotten away. She's on her motorcycle. She vrooms out there. And then she realizes every police officer in goddamn Gotham are here to get me. And it continues. She goes through the park, and they are going after her and have everyone there. And she realizes, I am fucked. This money that I did, the police are involved. This is dirty money that the police
got
involved.
Nearly $500,000 of dirty Gotham cop money.
Yeah, and you're not going to live if this is the case. They're using everyone to go get her because they can't let this out. And, it ends with
all of a sudden it's Gary Oldman and the professional. Everyone!
Yeah, everyone. It is. It is everyone, and she's there. I know what you're saying about the second half. I thought that this part started picking it up again. Once it's all about Selena, once she ends up with Reach kind of taken care of, I do like the progression. I do like how they showed it was dirty money and all that. I really like
the thing is, that's not the bad part. It's just that when we get to the last issue of this, we are back to where we were with Boom, where she's she's handcuffed to a chair now in the police station, and she's having the shit beat out of her.
This is a lot.
We just dealt with this.
And I know what you're saying, because this last part is very quick. She's arrested. They're doing, like, at one point, they want to see what's going on. They try to trace, and there's a big part in this is that – They can't find anything on her. This isn't showing anybody.
This is a great call out to Court of Owls.
Yeah, and this is not showing anybody who Selena Kyle is, because they can't trace her. Fingerprints, nothing. She has
no DNA on record.
And the problem is later on, she has kind of been saying, but even later she's like, I've been arrested a bunch of times. Yeah. I don't know what happened, because they're like, we can't find anything on her. Not one little bit. She is a Jane Doe. And the only thing they know is this is Catwoman, but we don't know who it is. Obviously, you know that Batman has done, like you said,
just
from
like
Court of the Owls.
Court of Owls, when they, you know, they had Dick Grayson's, like, you know, DNA was under the fingernails of that dead guy. Like, we found out that, you know, Batman had gone. Anybody in the Bat family, he had expunged all the data that the police have
on
anybody.
Don't have anything on them. And I thought that this was a good call out before we started recording this. I said to you, really kind of shows that she is part of the Bat family and Batman.
Way more than Batwoman ever was.
Batwoman, he didn't do that for. He went and did this ahead of time, because in the Zero issue, when you get to the Zero issue, which, if you don't know, come after the number 12 issues.
Yes.
It kind of goes into detail about what Batman did and why and how. So that's a call out that they wait for another, you know, six issues to go to, but they do show that, which is pretty cool. In the meantime, they're there and they're basically like, are you going to tell us where this money is? Because she has hidden the money at this point. And, you know, she was there throwing it around or whatever, but that she's too smart to have all the money with her.
Exactly. The thing is, you know, I give you this money, you're going to kill me, so why would I do this?
Yeah, they want to say, and they think she's stupid. They're like, okay, tell us where the money is. She knows that is the only thing that's keeping her alive. And she's like, no, you know, I'm not going to do this. We're going to go somewhere. We're going to do this. I'm going to get away. We can play that.
I even like this. Like, you know, I think we all know that you're going to kill me in that scenario. My plan, listen here. We all go, the four of us on a field trip, an excursion, if you will. I reunite you with a very good friend, a bag of money, of dirty money of yours, and you let me walk. Cool? No. And they just freaking leave the room and let Reach back in.
Yeah, and she says, the guy says, welcome to the hard way. And she's like, oh, crap. And yeah, it's Reach. And Reach wants freaking revenge.
And Reach has a broken nose and seems pissed about it.
Oh, yeah. And even so, when she did fight Reach the last bit, we didn't even mention at one point, Reach kind of did say, like, hey, you know what? We could work together. Like, you really impressed me. We can do this. Cause
you stole this money, but you know what? We can find a way out of this.
Yeah,
everything would be cool.
Yeah, and you get the idea. She doesn't care about the cops. She's just, it's a job, and she's doing this. But yeah, she said, and in here she goes, like, you know what? We could have had a job. We could have been friends even. Now I'm going to kill you. And just starts beating the shit out of her. In the meantime, and it's very – I'm telling you, what you're saying is true. This is very, very padded. And as they fight, you know, you're going back and forth. Selena's laying, and this is where Reach thinks she has her. And she's like, are you going to tell me where it is?
She's getting closer. Selena is like, just tell me where the money is. And then this has little whisper dialogue. Yeah, you can't read or anything like that. So every time this happens, Reach gets closer and goes, like, don't do it. Don't fucking do it.
Yep. And then Selena turns into Mike Tyson and bites off Reach's ear. Just bites off the ear and then spits it out and goes, can you hear me now? I was waiting for, and what's it called? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? And freaking in Quentin Tarantino, Reservoir Dogs. Remember when he gets his ear? Hey, what's going on there? Yeah, I thought of that, but I more thought of Mike Tyson. It made me laugh. But yeah, she's going to town now. In the meantime, you have Alvarez. And Alvarez had been looking into things, and like they tell him early, like, no, she got away. Like, he's like, what happened to this lady? Like, what happened to Catwoman when she came in? Because obviously they've set up that he's interested in her and trying to find things. And they're like, oh, she got away. And he's like, got away? You had all of the police department. The last thing I heard was she was surrounded and on the ground, and she got away. And they're like, oh, yeah, she slipped away. And he's like, where are those three pieces of shit? The Sarge or whatever, the chief and the other two. Yeah, the captain and the other two guys. They're like, where are they? And he knows they are going to do something. He's like, holy shit, she's still here in the back room. They're going to kill her. At this point, she is about to die. Freaking Reach is choking her out with her gravity powers. That's what I said. I kind of got the idea. I forgot they were gravity powers at that point, but she's getting choked out, and then Alvarez comes and saves her, hits
fucking
Reach
knocks
over
her
the
out
back,
with a goddamn
her
nightstick all hardcore. Yep.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because like Alvarez is like, "Are you okay?" And she's like, "Do I look okay?" Like, she's so bloody. And she
says, who the hell are you?
Who the hell are you? And he says, "A complete idiot. Just get out of here, and for God's sakes, try to stay out of trouble. And it gets to the point where Selena's intrigued, though, because as she's going, she's like, boy, I've been helped out before, even police who have let me walk. And it gets a little sexy, I think, because she's like, they always want something first. They always want something from me. Either it would be whatever she stole or some favors. Who knows? Yeah. But it kind of does show you that Selena does have a past, that she will do whatever it is to get free. Alvarez just wanted her to go because it was the wrong thing. Again, he thinks that she is, you know, guilty of 17 heists that he wants to tie in, but he doesn't. He's a guy who she should have justice here. There's no reason
she should die. He's a good officer. He is her Gordon at this point.
Yes, and there's no reason she should die. She goes off. She has the money. She's going to get out of Gotham, and that's where Batman comes again. And again, this is a little bit of padding when he's, you know, they're fighting. He just keeps saying, it's enough. You got to stop. Just
you
stop.
Know what?
And
I really did like this part, though.
The art's great. The art is so good. But again,
I mean, just the progression, though, where he is fighting with her and shit like that. And he is like, why do you do this? He is throwing her against the goddamn wall. She is trying to fight him. And he's yelling, like, you keep this up, you're going to die. Do you want to die? And she yells at him, maybe I do. And
yeah,
at that
maybe
point,
I do.
It rocks Batman's fucking world, and he has
and
to back away.
Even before that, right before that, while they're doing this, and they are fighting, and he says, you keep doing this over and over. How long do you think I'm going to be able to let you do these things? And she fucking throws shade at him and says, as long as we keep having sex. And I really think that upset him, because after that, he gets furious. And she's almost smirking because she sees, but he's like, no more games. You're anything but stupid. This is beyond this. And he said, you just keep doing risks and idiotic risks. You're smart. Why? Is that what you want? Do you want to die? And yeah, she says, maybe I do. And I love the panel because he, like, he had her and was shaking her. He backs away. He has his hands in the air and is like looking, and like, he doesn't want that to happen. And she has just said something that is a big thing to say, that she doesn't care if she dies. She doesn't care. And then, it pretty much the whole
thing. The progression
thing,
where she leaves and she takes them. I don't even know if she takes the money, and I want to think she did.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. And it's laying there and she just goes off. There is money flying, but I think she just leaves it at Batman's feet. She goes when she's flying. She's just by herself when she says he could chase me, but he doesn't. And it's the panel.
I don't know,
he's not wrong.
There's a big dark freaking, because you only see like a dark outline.
I think that's her knees.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's her knees.
Oh, okay.
I don't
I can
know.
See what you're saying
yeah,
with that.
It seems
I just didn't
like
know what that was. But, the whole thing where Batman is just standing there, she goes away, fucking the money is flying in the goddamn wind, it looks like.
Yeah.
That's why I wasn't sure as well, because he saw dollar bills in the air.
But,
like, he won't chase me. Not now, not tomorrow. Not for a while. If you get my meaning,
it's
like, he's not wrong. And I know my demons, they have faces and they have names. I'm like, it was just the progression there where it just rocks Batman so bad. I'm like, that was so good.
Yeah,
that was so well written.
Batman's left speechless because he's been trying to help her. He likes her. Obviously, we see now as
likes
the progression of this, he wants to marry her and he really does like her, but he can't like her because of how bad she is, but he doesn't want her to die. That basically, that's the only reason he keeps helping her. He doesn't want her to die and sees that she's going to. And when he says, do you want to die? I'm telling you, he expects her to say no. And she says, maybe I do.
I don't even know if he expects her to say anything.
He'll know.
But when she comes out with what she has, it fucking takes him back.
Oh, it does. He just steps back. And the whole deal ends. The trade ends where she says she can't do this alone. And unfortunately, she's going to get her pal Gwen involved here because she goes, she goes off, and that's going to be her new fence. She shows up and says, listen, I am Catwoman. You know, I really need your help. And I think that she's going to try to start doing it the right way. She's crying at this point as well. She's very shaken and upset. And, because again, you say something, you can sit there and pretend and say you're an adrenaline junkie, but when you're really angry and you yell out that maybe you do want to die, it does hit you. You know, you've now expressed something that you thought was deep down inside and never had words for. And it really shot.
And it's just like,
her.
You know, she is at the point of breaking because, she's lost Lola. She's lost Batman for what she just did, said to him and shit like that. And it's so odd to me that she ends up going to Gwen because she's bringing somebody else in that she's just going to be pushing away or getting killed.
Yeah, but we'll see, because I didn't read the next arc.
No, I haven't either.
Maybe they get together, they decide to put all of this nonsense behind them, and they open up a day spa.
I just know that I haven't heard a lot about Gwen Altamont.
No, I have not either. I'm very afraid for what happens to old Gwen. But yeah, that's the end. That is the last bit of it. And I told you, I was presently surprised for this. I actually liked it. I think I liked it a little more than you. Because even though the middle section of the second half did kind of change, you know, it changed gears there. I liked it. I liked the thing with Alvarez. I liked that setup going forward. And if this was coming out right now and I was reading, I'd be invested. I'd want to know what happens next. And
as well.
This is the thing, and we even had a letter in our regular podcast where people are like, you know what, the worst part of this new 52 review is when we get done the first volume of things, we move on to the next first volume, and there's a lot of books that I want to keep reading and continuing. And this one, I'm telling you, this is not something that's keeping me up at night to read more of, but I'm very interested. And it's weird. I was going to mention it at the beginning. People listen to our podcast, you know, we talk about ourselves and whatnot and characters. I never really mention, and I don't think people realize how much I like Catwoman. That Catwoman, because of the New 52, did become one of my favorite characters. I think she's probably in my top six characters, and that's pretty crazy. And it only would, well, it only would have happened if this would have been, you know, 10 years ago. I don't think there was that many people saying that, and I really like her. So I really like seeing this. And also, like I said, it really does. It's a cool timing to see this and see almost the rocky beginnings of what the relationship of Bruce and Selina.
Oh, yeah, especially what's going on right now, yeah.
And again, people will say, hey, you know, this is legacy and all this. Well, this is a reboot. So this is what you are being told in this continuity going forward. And I really do like it. And it really shows to me at this point, Batman, Bruce Wayne, does like Selina more than maybe Selina likes him at this point. I mean, Batman, he is really into her, so, and doesn't want her to get harmed, and goes through the whole process of erasing everything about her just in case she does get arrested, and, you know, so it doesn't tie back and get her in a whole more world shit, because he knows that she's always going to get arrested. You know, they're going to find her eventually. He can't, like he says, I'm not going to be here all the time to save you, yet he always seems to be. But what would you give this if you had to rate it as a whole?
As a whole trade, I'm telling you, I love the first three issues of this. Once we got to the last half of it, though, it went a little bit like, you know, it went down for me a little bit. But I love when Batman shows up and we have that whole, like I said, I just went on and on and talked about how much I love this goddamn scene. This makes up for a lot of it just because it's a great progression from where we were in the first half to where we end up here, even if I'm not a fan of where we are in the story at this point. But overall, I probably have to give this a 7 out of 10.
Really? I actually thought you were going to go like a 6.5 because I said I was going to
I love the art. Gillum March's freaking art
so
in this. I'm so good. I'm like, why is he not doing more? Even Jed Wynick. Why is not Jed Wynick doing more?
I know,
shit
because
for DC?
And he of the real world fame. Eric, he was on the first or one
That's
of the first
right.
real
we did
world
talk deal. About this before.
And boy, I really like the writing in this. The actual dialogue and everything was so good that, yeah, I would like him. He did some Red Hood stuff before the New 52, and he's done a bunch of things. But, yeah, I'd like to see more of him now as well. But, yeah, Gillian March has always been one of my favorites. And this, it just looks great. I was going to spoil my score at the beginning when I said that most people, the aggregate score for the trade was 7.1. I was going to say I'm going a little higher because I'm going to give it a 7.5. Mainly because, first off, it shocked me that I liked it as much as I did.
Me as well.
The art's so good. It is so good. I like it so much. And I love the stuff with Batman and Selina. I just like having Selina, you know, she uses her sexy side to get her way. And she's in control. Yeah, and it's like one of those things is she's in control of all that. So I do like that. It doesn't make her – like, yeah, she's an object, but she's an object because she chooses to be to get, you know –
get what she wants. Yeah,
get what she wants. And in the meantime, it also shows that she is very smart, and that's what drives Batman the most insane. And really, you have that, and that's another thing. Bruce Wayne and Batman, he's not going to want to marry somebody who's just a ditz and just a jerk and whatever. So he sees how smart she is. He sees that she has a good side. She has a code. It may not be as strict as his, but yeah, I really liked it. But that is the end, Eric. That is the end of Catwoman Volume 1, The Game. And
pleasantly
I will tell
surprised.
You, Yes. And I will tell you the next episode that we do will be Stormwatch, Volume 1, The Dark Side. And we said we're interested in reading it because neither of us read all of that as well.
No, and I don't think I've ever read a goddamn issue of Stormwatch. Yeah, starting out from the beginning sounds like a good time to me.
Yeah, and just to tell everybody, the Stormwatch, when it starts, Martian Manhunter is involved. So if you haven't been, or if you've been pining for more Martian Manhunter,
that was the big push at the beginning of the New 52 is because, you know, we had these Stormwatch, I mean, these, like, you know, these Wildstorm characters coming in for the Stormwatch book, but we needed an extra push for people. So let's throw that Martian Manhunter in as well.
Martian Manhunter.
And so I thought back in the day, I'm like, you know, that's kind of a cool thing that really intertwined these two universes together by throwing one character in that people love.
Yeah. Now, I will mention that we do have a Patreon account now. I wanted to mention this at the end, where we are on Patreon. If you go, it's www.patreon.com/weirdscience. You can also find links on the show notes of this episode, also on our website. And why I say this is because if you go there and subscribe, you could end up getting the New 52 podcast. If you really like these, you can go 2 weeks ahead of time. So we will be releasing one at the, what is it, 2 weeks early than what everybody gets. So if you want to get a head start and kind of early get access. 2 weeks ahead of everybody, you get early access of the deal. So go and check it out. And also, if you want to support us anyway, if you just want to support all the hard work we do, Eric,
and make us
look like big shots to my kids, you can go and support us in any way. And we appreciate any sort of support that anybody would give us. So if you would care to do that and show that you care, you can go to, again, it's www.patreon.com/weirdscience, or just go to Patreon and look up Weird Science. You'll find us, Eric. You will,
sure will.
Find us. But yeah, that's it. I had a good time with this book, Eric. Do you remember how you ended the New 52 podcast? Because I just listened to the last one, the Green Lantern one, and you did end it with a certain phrase. Do you remember that phrase?
I do. I don't know if I like it, but I'll end this one the same way.
Don't
just
like it?
I don't have anything new. But that was the New 52, and now we're through.